This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, who directed the policy planning staff for Mike Pompeo's State Department during the Trump administration, producing the documents, the elements of the China challenge, tasks that must be achieved in order to confront an aggressive China. And we come to what we must do here at home, and it begins with education. Peter, you write fluently, the United States must educate American citizens about the scope and implication of the China challenge. Is that education ongoing? Have you been encouraged that people are now focusing? Maybe it's the markets only, but I believe that everybody's paying attention to the lights going out in China, and that this is a product of bad governance, not just bad luck.
People are paying more attention again. I think Secretary of State Pompeo gets a lot of credit for this. He identified as a crucial part of his task as Secretary of State from 2018 to 2021 to tell the whole world and to tell citizens in the United States about the China challenge, about China's ultimate aims, about China's inroads in all regions of the world, and in fact, about the ways in which China was subtly corrupting liberal democracy in America. Secretary Pompeo used to say that that when he visited Capitol Hill, the one issue that he could find some degree of bipartisan support for was the urgency of the China challenge. But I worry that we're not doing nearly enough, and the Biden administration is not doing nearly enough to educate the nation about the China challenge. I wish Secretary of State Blinken and I wish National Security Advisor Sullivan and I wish President Biden were doing more to alert the citizenry of the United States of America about the many dimensions of the China challenge.
We need a new generation of public servants, more George Kennans and Peter Berkowitzes. At the same time, American education must adapt to the China challenge. What would that look like, Peter?
Well, first, it would involve returning to a kind of education which put American history at the center, and a fair-minded study of American history, which recognized the founding of the United States as a seminal moment in the modern world because of its dedication to certain universal principles, and recognized our Constitution for the extraordinary achievement that it is, notwithstanding the legal protection that we gave to the evil institution of slavery at the founding, but still to recognize that the United States has done as much as any nation ever to live up to and promote the principles of human freedom and equality under law. We need to understand that so that we're in a position to actually explain these principles also on the international scene and defend them proudly.
And 10, we must champion the principles of freedom, as you've said. Are we doing that, Peter? To your measure, is Washington the place to look for that championing, or is it elsewhere?
Well, I don't know where else one would look, but in my view, Washington is not doing enough. Actually, over the summer, Secretary Blinken invited the United Nations in to examine America's racism, sexism, and other deficiencies. Just as one heard from Soviet dissidents in the 1980s, so too one hears from freedom and democracy activists in Hong Kong. One did before the Chinese Communist Party crushed freedom in the spring of 2020. And as one hears from defenders of freedom and democracy in Taiwan, the United States speaking forcefully in defense of its own principles is inspiring and crucial to their efforts abroad. There's, of course, much more than the United States to do, and we do it. The president can host dissidents. We can develop more effective means for channeling foreign aid to those who stand for freedom. That's not the same as forcibly imposing democracy. It's channeling foreign aid to groups, peoples, nations who are already committed to freedom. We can impose sanctions where appropriate and more. Are we doing a good enough job? Starting with explaining the goodness of our principles? No, I think we're not doing a good enough job. We could do much better.
And the last minute, Peter, right now, do you measure China? You had access to lots of material when you were at State Department. Do you measure China now is accelerating its aggression towards the United States? Or is it the same that you experienced in 2018, 2019? Has there been a change since the pandemic? We have about a minute.
I think the real change occurred around 2016. It's the point that Rush Doshi made. In 2016, with Brexit and the election of Donald Trump, Xi Jinping's government, his party, came to the conclusion that the West had entered into a period of irreversible decline. They have been aggressively promoting a new kind of world order, an authoritarian kind of world order since that time. With the pandemic, you might say they were accelerated, but they were already on that trajectory.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution. The document is The Elements of the China Challenge. This is the Trump administration in 2020 during the pandemic. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.